Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I guess we'll reconnect it. So here's, we're celebrating 5 days later, Martin Luther King's birthday. Also, January 20th is the new inauguration day, changed from March to January 20th during, I think, the third inauguration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, we still have some minor problems, but anyway, here we're going to try to get this resolved. Among the important birthdays today, or events, we have in 1778, the first American military court-martial took place during the American Revolution. I don't have all the details on that, but we'll get it up on January 22nd. In 1801, John Marshall was appointed the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, John Jay was actually the first appointee as Chief Justice, but he didn't stay there that long, I think a year or so. And this is one of the big historical events and defeat of the British Army in Africa. Lord Chelmsford, in 1874, I think it was, at Iswindara. In fact, there's this famous movie with Peter O'Toole, where Lord Chelmsford thought he could defeat the Zulus, and the Zulus wiped out his army at Iswindawa. And, of course, it was a big disgrace. Chelmsford was a friend of Queen Victoria, and he got away with this, even though he was a military incompetent. There is a movie with Peter O'Toole. It's very accurate, and if you're interested in that history, I suggest you look that up. In 1887, Pearl Harbor in Hawaii was ceded leased to the United States, and we still own it to this day. And, of course, the Japanese tried to totally obliterate it on December 7th, 1941. We still own it today. And, of course, it has some history, a connection to the Steve Neary U.S. Navy sailor case where Janice Allen, who was a U.S. Navy nurse there, She was there at Pearl Harbor, and she contributed to trying to help expose the corruption in the illegal prosecution of U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neary. We'll get into more of that. Now, also on this date in 1942, at Wansea, which is a resort area with a lake, and I think it's a palatial home outside of Berlin, or it was at that time, where Adolf Eichmann, Heinrich Heydrich, and the lawyers, the top lawyers, and other functionaries of the Nazi government met to decide the final solution to eliminate all the Jews from Europe. And, of course, Heydrich was heading this conference. He was the chairperson, and, of course, Eichmann was there. Heydrich then went and became, quote, the protector of Czechoslovakia, and the Czechs didn't buy this, the Czech freedom fighters, and Heydrich was assassinated. And, of course, the Nazis took a brutal revenge in which they tracked down the freedom fighters who were flown in from Britain, and they traced them to a village of Lidice in Czechoslovakia, and the Nazis killed everybody in the village and burned the village to the ground and then raised it and threw the ashes into a river. The Nazis were very ruthless that way. They didn't want any trace left. And, of course, on this day, we have Inauguration Day for the President of the United States. Now, Martin Luther King's birthday is actually the 15th. Now, there's some things people don't know about him. Reportedly that he had Irish ancestry, and of course, you know, there were Irish that settled in the South before the Civil War, and of course, in the movie Gone with the Wind, the Irish, Scarlett O'Hara's father was from Ireland, and of course, that, maybe we ought to play that little clip right now, we'll play it later, but anyway, Martin Luther King also reportedly, according to J. Edgar Hoover, who was no saint himself, reportedly screwed around with a woman that wasn't his wife. And, of course, these things happen, and people are people. But I remember I was there in Chicago as a student in 1960-67 and went to the civil rights protests, and I saw there were nuns and priests and other religious people, religious organizations, Jewish, Protestant, and of course there were a lot of angry white people who threw bricks at the priests and the nuns and spit on them, but they kept on marching, and of course Martin Luther King said Chicago was one of the most segregated cities in the world, in America, and of course it was. Now, here's a clip from his civil rights protests at that time. Richard Daley, of course, was pissed.
When they put me in jail, when they put Ralph and then Wyatt in jail, let them know that they got 100 more to put in jail. When they put that next 100 in jail, let them know that they got another 1,000 to put in jail. When they put that 1,000 in jail, let them know that they got 10,000 more to put in jail. America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country until the nation comes to terms with our problems. Now, since I don't see the answer in riots, and I say that very sincerely, I don't see it morally because of my moral commitment to nonviolence, but I don't see it practically. I've been to Watts numerous times since the riot took place there several years ago, and Watts is no better. In fact, they've done studies to show that Watts is no better. Conditions haven't changed. So that we've got to find a method that will disrupt our cities if necessary, create the crisis that will force the nation to look at the situation, dramatize it, and yet at the same time not destroy life or property. Now, you know what? I see that as massive civil disobedience. If I don't see the answer to our problem in riots. So my slogan is not burn, baby, burn. My slogan is build, baby, build. Organize, baby, organize. Learn, baby, learn, so that you can earn, baby, earn. Maslow.
Now, unfortunately, since that time, what's that, 47 years ago, 1967, the blacks leaders, for instance, Cecil Williams and Jesse Jackson, a lot of questions about their activities, and, of course, Al Sharpton, who pulled his fraud with Tawani Brawley, claiming that she was sexually assaulted, not sexually, but assaulted physically, and that turned out to be a fraud. We have, and these guys get wealthy off the backs of their fellow blacks. They live high on the hog. Some of them are multimillionaires, living in big houses. And they're not living in SROs, or what is called single-room occupancies, like a lot of these still poor blacks and even other ethnic groups, Asians, Chinese, Filipinos, Samoans. You know, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, as they say. And it's quite interesting what King said, that, and this applies across the board, that you got to look at the left. They have organized, they build, they communicate. But we don't see this with the conservatives. They're all, too many of them are off doing their own thing, trying to get as much as they can, as soon as they can, and how they can, instead of communicating and building and networking. And this is how you build a political machine. And, you know, even the communists and the Nazis, that's what they did, organize. So that's one of the major problems of political opposition in this country today, that the left is well organized, give the devil his due, but the right, quote, conservatives are not. And I don't see, you know, how they're going to get their agenda across to people and persuade people if they don't organize. Now, also on this day, Mahatma Gandhi, I think in 1948, was assassinated, and here is his first radio interview.
If England does not grant your demands, what course of action will you follow then?
Of course, civil disobedience and all other phases of the Satyagraha are always at our disposal, but whether we shall resort to this weapon immediately, or what other steps we shall take, I cannot judge at present.
If England grants your demands, Mr. Gandhi, do you intend to have complete prohibition in the new Indian state?
Oh, yes.
Absolute prohibition?
Absolute.
And do you intend also, if India wins its independence, to abolish child marriages?
I should very much like to, even before.
Do you expect England this time will give India full self-government?
That also is more than I can say.
But you are hopeful.
I am an optimist.
You are an optimist. If you go to the second round table conference, will you go attired in native Indian dress, or will you prefer European dress?
I shall certainly not be found in European dress. And if the weather permitted, I should present myself exactly as I am today.
Yes. And if the King of England invited you to dinner at Buckingham Palace, you would go in your customary Indian dress?
In any other dress, I should be most discourteous to him.
Yes.
Because I should be artificial.
If England does not grant your demand, are you prepared to return to jail again?
I am always prepared to return to jail.
Would you be prepared to die in the cause of India's independence?
It is a bad question.
Well, he did die in the cause of India's independence. He tried with Nehru and Jinnah, who was a Muslim, to keep India together, but Jinnah wanted a separate state of Pakistan, and we have all the problems of Pakistan today. And we did interviews with the last British commander up in Pakistan of the Pakistan Military Academy, Brigadier Francis Ingle, and we will play that again. Also, we are offering a lot of these rare interviews, which nobody else has, as far as I know, to military and historical museums around the world, and also to any academic institutions that want to promote history and get the rest of the story. In fact, that's our new feature for 2014, the rest of the story. A lot of the media that reporting is done today, either these people are ignorant or they ignore the history and why things are the way they are and how we got from then to where we are today and what we can do from here for tomorrow. So these are part of our agenda for 2014. Now, also, what's also interesting about Gandhi's assassination was that the guy that was the brains behind it was homosexual. This is very interesting. This crops up in a couple of infamous spying, espionage, and assassinations in world history. So we'll get to that another day. We're still having a minor problem, and I hope we can get this wrapped up and corrected before as the year progresses, or before we go any further and get it settled by January. Anyway, one of the problems we have is a guy named David Campos, who came to this country illegally. He got elected somehow to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors or City Council or Board of Selectmen, depending on where you part of the country you live in, and then you understand what that position is. Anyway, this guy, he's a gay sexual preference activist, and a lot of controversial things he's done, but most controversial is, considering that he came to this country illegally, he has tried to dictate to people who are anti-abortion, who are American citizens, who are expressing their rights of protest, and he's trying to tell them what their rights of protest and the limitations on their rights of protest, when this guy wasn't even born in this country and doesn't respect the Constitution or any of the protections that American citizens and native-born Americans have. These people come here, they don't come here to contribute and create and contribute, but more and more we're seeing they come here and they behave like they're co-opting and corrupting. And we need to stand up, speak out, and stand firm, and if necessary, take these people on, down, and out. Also, one of the great Italian conductors, we've had people like Toscanini, Tullio Serafin, other great Italian, Gabrinzini, all great conductors, and one of the most recent great conductors. He was also associate conductor of the Chicago Symphony. He's done many recordings, or did. He died today of the long illness. I think it was colon cancer or pancreatic cancer. He died, and so we'll be doing a memorial for him. Great conductor, and I think he has a nephew who is a budding conductor. So we are going to end soon. I'm just really disappointed in this mess that we have. I have to call in on a different line to get this thing operating. So I don't think it's my computer because it's just been in the shop. But anyway, we will have Jim Gleason, who is a great one of San Francisco's great living artists. We'll have that interview, and we'll have we're working on some more new stuff. And of course, our big feature will be the rest of the story. There's a lot of news that you only get part of it, or it's distorted, or it's ignored. And we've got what we have. We will present with documentation as much as possible. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and hopefully we'll get this situation worked out. Still got this cold, but I don't have the flu, thank God. So here we go with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run Al Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy.
Folks, we're ending early because of some still technical problems. Anyway, we'll be back January 22nd at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night. Stay safe. Stay warm.